And I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, rise and have no fear. Now, it appears, as we mentioned the other week, that James and John's and Peter's fear was akin to that which gripped the people of Israel when they were gathered at Mount Sinai. The three of them were on a mountaintop. They were overshadowed by a cloud, from which came the voice of the Most Holy One, "This is my beloved Son." And this shook the three disciples to their cores. For who can abide in the presence of the Almighty? How can a mortal behold God and live? They were sure that they were done for. And as it turns out, I've been asked to address fear a couple of times over these last few weeks. As I've led chapel over at Concordia, first Mr. Hipple gave me Jesus walking on the water in the fourth watch of the night to rescue the fearful disciples from the midst of wind and wave. And in that case, they were afraid of death, and Jesus came to them and said, "Fear not, I am." And they were rightfully afraid. And then, just this last week, Mr. Hipple gave me another text, Peter and the miraculous catch of fish on the Sea of Galilee from Luke chapter 5, where when Peter realized that he was in the same boat with God in the flesh, he exclaimed, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." Peter was afraid of judgment. And again, rightfully so. Sin brings judgment and condemnation. For what is evil cannot stand with what is holy. Darkness cannot comprehend the light. And yet Jesus told him, "Fear not." And here again, at the Transfiguration, there is fear. Certainly, it was fear of God the Almighty, but I want to suggest that there was another fear lurking in the hearts and minds of those three disciples, which is why Jesus brought them up on the mountain in the first place. And that other fear was fear of the future, of what lay ahead. For when Matthew tells us that Jesus took them up on the mountain, he says it was after 6 days. And you might say, well, 6 days after what? It was 6 days after Jesus told the 12 plainly that they were on their way to Jerusalem, where Jesus would suffer many things at the hands of the authorities and be killed, and on the third day rise. You may remember Peter was having none of that and told Jesus that just wasn't going to happen. At which point Jesus rebuked Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're not thinking the things of God, but the things of man." But it appears that the disciples weren't really listening. They weren't really hearing Jesus. For how could God let the Messiah, the King, get killed? How could that redeem Israel, they wondered. It made no sense. And they were afraid. They weren't in control. They didn't understand. They didn't know what was going to happen to them. And so Jesus took Peter and James and John up on the mountain, and he let them see the glory of his divine person shine through the flesh of his human person. Not only show them his divinity and his glory, but Moses and Elijah were there too. And you might ask, why? Well, they were there as witnesses to the truth that Jesus declared. For both Moses and Elijah had suffered in their service to God's people. You might remember that the people revolted against Moses numerous times, and that Jezebel tried to have Elijah killed. Luke tells us that Moses and Elijah spoke with Jesus about the exodus that he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem, and that meant his death. Moses and Elijah confirmed for James and John and Peter that this was the way of God's work in the world. It was to let sin do its worst, and then to still overcome it. And then the Father showed up in that cloud and reminded him, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." You might recall that when we spoke of Jesus' baptism, the declaration that the Father is well pleased with Jesus means that everything Jesus says, all that he does, has the Father's approval because it is the perfect expression of the Father's will. Taken all together, the upshot of this epiphany for Peter and James and John was simply this, that everything is in control. What will happen in Jerusalem will not be an accident, no miscarriage of justice, no end to God's work to redeem his people. All was unfolding according to plan. All the disciples needed to do was remember that, trust that, and that faith and trust and confidence to overcome all fear would come through the word, through Jesus's word. So listen, be hearing him. And so they heard, they listened, they believed. Now, I find it interesting to note that when Peter reports his experience on the mountaintop, he does not emphasize his eyewitness report, along with James and John, as apostles, even though that really does distinguish the faith of the church and what she proclaims from the myths and legends of ancient paganism. And this remains true to our own day. But notice what Peter went on to say, what he does emphasize. He said, we have something more sure than eyewitness accounts of the transfiguration to bolster our faith in the power of Jesus' death and resurrection. What we have is the prophetic word. For throughout the prophets, God promised time and time again that his Holy One, our Redeemer, would suffer to atone for the sins of all and die and rise to give life to all who by grace and the Spirit believe in him. The transfiguration and Moses and Elijah and the voice of the majestic glory all confirmed that for Peter and James and John, these things were true. So they could rise from their terror, set aside fear, and know that having Jesus only was all that they needed. And so they headed down the mountain and resumed their journey on the road to Jerusalem. They would still have their doubts. They would still have their failures. They would still even have fear. And they would also know they had Jesus and that he was in control. So what does this all mean for us? Well, it turns out that you and I, we have sin, and our sin mires us in fear, for as John noted, perfect love casts out fear. And what he means is that both faith in God's perfect love for us and having perfect love for him leaves no room for fear. But you and I, we have sin, and sin brings fear. We too fear death. We fear losing those whom we love. We fear how we might die. Sometimes we fear not knowing the exact mechanisms of death and precisely what will happen when we draw our last breath. And you and I, we fear judgment, for we know what our sins deserve. And at times we fear that our repentance isn't really sincere, that our efforts to resist temptation haven't been all that robust, and that our faith isn't all that deep. So perhaps we will have to face divine justice come the end. And you and I, we can fear the future. We don't know what will happen to us personally. We don't know what's going to happen with our country. We don't know what's going to happen with the world. And all the signs that we see don't really look all that promising. Wars and dissensions are all around. The love of many grows cold. But the transfiguration is for us as well. And all that Jesus has said to the disciples, he says to us. For he's risen. And as he said, everything he did unfolded exactly as the Father willed. And by his death, Jesus has taken away the sin of the world. And by his rising, he has overcome death. And with his ascension and the outpouring of his Spirit, he has gathered all things under his power and grace and purpose to complete the Father's will for the restoration of all things. And so, you and I, we rise and leave fear behind. For we have Jesus, God, with us. As he said to the frightened disciples on the Sea of Galilee, he says to us, fear not, I am. As he said to Peter in the boat, he says to us, fear not, I'm not come to judge, but to redeem. And he said to Peter and James and John on the mountain, he says to us, rise and have no fear. For he is enough. Jesus is all we need. And with him, we can go down the mountain and journey with him into whatever the future holds, knowing that he has it in hand. Even so, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.